This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How are health insurers doing ahead of the new healthcare law?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open. It's our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day, and in this case, the week. The big managed care provider, Humana, said this morning its profits jumped in the last 3 months, up 21%. How's the new healthcare law hitting insurers? And before we get to that, where is Wall Street? Well, up this morning with the Dow Industrials 130 points higher at 10,596. That's 1.25%. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are both up more than 1% now. The United Arab Emirates says it will block BlackBerry email and web services. They claim it's for national security reasons. It looks like Saudi Arabia will go the same route, and BlackBerry's maker, Research in Motion, is seeing its shares down about 1.5% so far. I mentioned Humana. Their stock is up more than 1%. Details on that in a moment. European stocks are higher today after some really good economic data and bank earnings, and Asian shares rose as well. So this giant HMO, Humana, says profits jumped 21%. Let's get some more on this now with Bill Stone. He's chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management, and he joins us live from Philadelphia. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
So Humana and other insurers have the uncertainty of the healthcare overhaul law kind of hanging over them. Does Humana's jump in earnings seem to be because of the new law, in spite of it, neither?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. They're seeing some significant revenue increases from some added memberships, particularly on their plans for seniors, this Medicare Advantage, also getting some premium increases there. Then on the other side, they've actually had some lesser payouts out of those particular plans. So it's a little bit of a combination of both.
Okay, well, lesser payouts. I have been hearing that Americans are getting fewer prescriptions, fewer elective surgeries because of the recession. We're cutting back. Is that showing up on insurers' bottom lines?
Yeah, I think exactly what you're saying is they are seeing some amount of less medical usage, which, again, does help their bottom line. They're also, aside from that, cutting a lot of their own internal costs. So a lot of that is perhaps getting themselves ready for this bill really taking effect. So, you know, trimming the fat here and there.
Yeah, we'll see how all that plays out. Thanks very much, Bill Stone from PNC Wealth Management.
Thank you.
Chief Investment Strategist Bill Stone there. In other news, BP engineers could begin as early as today with an oil spill tactic known as static kill. Meanwhile, BP is dealing with congressional questions about chemicals the company used to help break up the oil. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
This week, a Senate committee holds hearings on BP's use of chemical dispersants back in the spring and early summer, when as much as 60,000 barrels of oil a day were spewing into the Gulf. Dispersants make it easier for oil to evaporate or be consumed by bacteria, but their effect on marine life is unknown, and they've never been used in such deep water. Democratic Congressman Ed Markey, meanwhile, wants to know why the Coast Guard let BP continue spraying large amounts of dispersant after the Environmental Protection Agency told the company to scale back. All this scrutiny and bad press could give government officials cover to attack our oil addiction, says Manachar Takin at the Center for Global Energy Studies.
To impose taxes, bring in policies to reduce dependence on oil, give incentives of other energies, these which the public might have been criticizing it in the past probably would be more easily accepted.
The Coast Guard, meanwhile, defends its oversight of BP and says it gave the company leeway to use dispersants to deal with the oil on a case-by-case basis. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
It's time for today's Marketplace Globalist Quiz. Our quizmaster, Stefan Richter, gives us some perspective on international news and trends. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bill. So are you ready for today's quiz?
Yes, I am.
On average, how much does it cost to support one U.S. soldier deployed to Afghanistan per year? Is it $67,000 per year, $132,000 per year, $685,000, or $1.2 million per year?
It can't be $1 million per U.S. soldier per year. I'm going to lower that to $132,000 per soldier.
You are a man who is way behind his time.
Oh?
$132,000 paid for one troop at the peak of the Vietnam War in 1968.
So what's the right answer, Stefan? Is it really $1.2 million?
You got it right.
Wow.
It's staggering. $1.2 million per year. And realize that of that, about $58,000 per year is the total pay per troop. But, you know, the staggering items in terms of the cost are that there are estimates that it costs up to $350,000 a year per troop deployed just on fuel and spare parts. And if you saw the Washington Post recently, they had a story that each translator, they have a soccer tournament here in D.C. where they recruit Afghan-born translators who speak Dari or Pashto, and those guys make $250,000 a year, and the recruiting agencies get $265,000 a year per translator. You know, when war becomes such a for-profit business, I think it's dark news for us taxpayers.
Stunning. Stefan, thank you for the insight.
You're quite welcome.
Stefan Richter, publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist. You can learn more about the global economy, politics, and culture when you visit theglobalist.com. And finally, YouTube is now allowing longer videos, 15 minutes instead of 10. The Google-owned site originally imposed the 10-minute limit because longer videos tended to be copyrighted TV shows and movies uploaded illegally. Well, YouTube says it has improved copyrighted filtering technology. So now you can post videos that devote more time to the subjects that truly deserve it.
Rainbow all the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God. It's a double rainbow all the way.
It goes on for a while. In case you haven't seen this viral video, watch a hiker brought to his emotional knees by nature's profundity at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.